Oh, James.
How you doing?
Hey, this is Rabble Rousing Rich from Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. We got Tom Padgett, we call him the Psychic, and Tony Pennacal.
How you doing, James?
Online.
How you doing, man? Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
How you doing?
Well, nice to have you guys on. Why don't you just take turns, give a little bit of a introduction of yourselves and what you got going on these days.
James.
No, I mean, I'll let you go first. Fight is first, James.
I'm Jack. I have a journey, of course, on grandson of Marvin. I live in Atlanta right now, but I'm currently in boxing battles. Just got connected with Ryan. We're looking for a fight with May 14th.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I've just been trying to
put
that
in
generous.
What up?
All right, Ryan.
And I'm Ryan Roach. Yeah, I'm Ryan Roach. I've been managing boxes since 2018. Grew up around the sport. Been involved in the sport since I was young. My grandmother used to take me around to fight Barbara Roach. I just come from the Roach family. Pretty well known in the sport of boxing, I met James about 2 months ago. We teamed up, and I think it was a good fit for both of us. And the Roach and the Hagler names. Hopefully, we can make some more magic.
Yeah, I get a big connection to the Brockton area, so I'm very familiar with Marvin's legacy. I never, unfortunately, got to meet him, but I met his good buddy, Goody Petronelli. Got to interview him years ago before his passing. And also was good friends with a guy that we call the original Iron Mike, Mike Pusateri, who used to be good friends with your family and came up in the Roach gym there.
Yeah. He's a great guy. I actually was with him right before he passed, not too long before that. He was all in Vegas a few times for some Pacquiao fights.
Yeah, he was like running 5 miles a day, too. Even in his old age, he used to tell me. It's just, that was a big shock to me when I found out he died. Unfortunate. But anyway, what's that like growing up in that family and, being involved in boxing? Was it kind of like, you had to find a path into that sport, or was it ever an option to do anything else?
Is that from me, my point, or James?
Yeah. Well, I guess both of you could answer that one, right?
Yeah. So from my point, my dad was Joey. He was the youngest brother out of the fighting ones, and he pretty much, my grandfather gave me a set of boxing gloves at 5, and my dad was like, you're not getting into the sport. And he took some punishment fight, and, obviously, Freddie, I think by that time had Parkinson's, so they were kind of like, my dad wanted me nothing to do with it, and then, I kind of found my way, I still hung around, I still was around the sport, and then kind of got into it later in life.
All right. Al, how about you, James?
For my side, my granddad, he didn't want nobody to really do the sport. I think him and Uncle Robbie fought too. After he retired, he didn't want nobody to really pursue the sport. He wanted us to play another sport. But I always wanted to box. It was my first time. It was about 3 years old when he put his hands, put my hands in one of his fight gloves. That's my first time being introduced to the sport. That's the first sport I really knew about.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And,
the other day. Oh, go ahead, Rich.
Oh, you go ahead.
Well, guys, I don't forget my name when we were doing the intro, but I'm Tony. I'm from Tony the Tornado. I'm from Philadelphia. And the other day was, obviously, we know the 1 year anniversary of Marvin's passing. And shortly after his passing, I had got a Ring magazine in like a tribute. And for some reason, I kept it in the plastic that it was in. And in a way, because I was on vacation last year in Florida when a friend of mine texted me that he had passed, and I actually could not open that magazine to read until this year, this weekend when I was in Florida. It was almost like a closure for me because I grew up, I'm a child of the 80s, I was born in the late 70s. So I grew up watching Marvin Hagler as a kid with my dad. His old Sunday afternoon fights, Tommy Hearns and John the Beast Mugabe, Roberto Duran, so many great fights. And so in a way, like last year, was like, you always believe when you see a guy that was so tough and so strong and so determined, and when they're gone, it's like, well, if somebody like that can pass away, that gives, leaves no hope for any of us else. Somebody that, you know, much of a warrior will pass. There's no hope for a mortal man.
Yeah, that was a shock to everybody. I thought like he was a superhero to me. I didn't think he could die. Well,
yeah. Like, I was in Florida last year, and I had just come back from one night, and I woke up to a text message from my one friend back home. And I'm like, nah, man, he's gotta be kidding me. And I went on social media, and it's like, he's not kidding yet. You know, shock, you know.
I was shocked in two ways. Yeah, not only that he died, but also that he was living in New Hampshire, where I live right now.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I thought he was still in Italy.
He lives in New Hampshire every summer. He's come to New Hampshire every summer.
Okay. Yeah, I wish I had known that. I would have tried to find a way to go out and meet him.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, he used to be there from April all the way to like September to fall. He did it every year since he moved out.
So
he went to a whole bunch of bars you could go to over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of bars are there. He go there every summer.
Oh wow.
You know, James, a friend of mine, who just passed away a couple of years ago, was an older gentleman. He used to actually train with Rocky Marciano back in Gleason's gym back in the 40s and 50s. And then years later, after, you know, he broke his hand a couple of times and wasn't fighting anymore, he became a referee. And he refereed a few fights at the Philadelphia Spectrum where Marvin was fighting. And I think the one was against William Warren Monroe. And oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on the other one. I'm sorry. But he refereed Marvin at least two times.
Was it Boogaloo Watt?
Yes. Thank you. I know Boogaloo. Now I feel bad.
Met your match, Tony. We call Tony sometimes the Rain Man of boxing because he just comes up with obscure stats.
And don't forget Cyclone Hart. Oh, Eugene Cyclone Hart. Yeah. Marvin fought them all then. Yeah, fought them all.
I'll tell you a funny story I've told these guys about 100 times, but
he was so old school.
When I first was watching boxing, you know, I used to have HBO when we first got cable as kids, and so we watched a lot of Mike Tyson fights, but the big one, the first one I ever bet on in my life was Marvin Hagler versus Sugar Ray Leonard. And, you know, since I was in Boston at the time, you had to root for Marvin Hagler. He's the hometown, home state guy. So I bet this kid $10 that Marvin was going to whoop Sugar Ray. And that's the first bet I ever made, first bet I ever lost. But to find out the details of what went on to make that fight and how Marvin had to chase Sugar Ray around and how they changed the ring setup right before the fight and so many different things were done to make Sugar Ray a favored fighter, and as far as points go, it was crazy. And obviously that affected him for years and years and years afterwards. And I don't remember the exact story, but apparently there was something I read about him running into Sugar Ray years later, and Sugar Ray like tried to make a joke about something, and like he was still bitter about it. But what was that like, you know, watching him deal with the kind of politics behind the sport that was a little bit, you know, beyond most people's understanding?
That hurt him for the rest of his life, to be honest with you. That's why he never turned around and seen none of the young guys fought.
Uh-huh.
He didn't like Boston Potters said they were corrupt. That bothered him the rest of his life, the way that that fight went, and just how he had to get the fight.
Right.
Yeah, he was better than he really did.
Now, but did he still watch a lot of boxing, or did he just completely like shut himself out?
Nah, he just started before he passed away about 2 or 3 years ago. He just started back watching boxing and started going to some of the fights over there in Europe.
Oh wow! So
before
he really just
he just completely not. He left it to Italy.
Yeah.
He just really forgot about boxing. Before he passed away, he just tried to get it back into it, for real.
It's unfortunate, because, I mean, just such a big role model. And, you know, just a great example of toughness, period. But, you know, you obviously have watched a lot of his fights, right?
James was funny a couple years ago. What did you say?
You've watched a lot of his fights, right? Do you have a favorite?
I say all of his fights. All the ones they recorded.
Awesome.
My favorite will always be Tommy Hearns, though.
Oh. What a classic.
You know what's funny? You know what actually is funny, and it's quite that gets overlooked, and maybe it was as Marvin was getting a little bit later up in his career. One of my favorite fights was the fight with John the Beast Mugabe. He was like, I mean, feared. I mean, he was the puncher that was feared because he wouldn't, I mean, pure power was one of the maybe the greatest of all time punchers. And the fact that Marvin walked through some of his, you know, titanic bomb and never flinched. Now, we were on the phone 10 or so years ago with Goody before he passed away. And I remember saying, and this is my exact quote to Goody Petrelli, I said, Goody, what did you put up in the water in Brockton, Mass? With such great chin. Because the reference in Rocky Marciano, who had only ever been down twice in his career, and Marvin Hagler. And I said, and Marvin was only down once. And I was about to follow up with, and it was a slip. And Goody chimed in, he goes, and that was a goddamn slip. I'm like, I know, I was about to say it. It was a slip. Roldan did not knock him down. I said, the man in my eyes never went down. He goes, so Goody, I'm on your side here. But I said, what did you put up in that water? I mean, great, amazing chins in that town.
Yeah. I remember being up there at the gym one time.
You gotta learn how to take them before you get them.
Yeah. I remember being up there one time and hearing some stories about Marvin, and I forget who the guy was that was telling me, but he's like kind of like a journeyman type of fighter from New England, big guy, and he was telling me one of the secrets to Marvin's success was all the road work that he used to do, and not just road work, but beach work. They used to go down to Cape Cod, and he would run the beach in combat boots rather than running shoes for the extra weight. And just unbelievable mileage, like 12, 13 miles in one day. And Goody himself told me the story. Yeah. Goody himself told me the story of when Marvin first came to the gym. Didn't have a very good day, you know, got kind of knocked around the ring when he first stepped in there, but it was the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that of him coming back and coming back and coming back and refusing to give up on it that really made him who he was. But it was one of the greatest honors being able to box in that facility that he walked up the same steps one time and hit the... Probably was jump roping on the same exact floor because it didn't look like they updated that over years. This place is gone now, unfortunately, but a lot of history there. But Ryan, we kind of feel like we're leaving you out here. Can you kind of give us an idea of how you met James and how this all came together with you two?
I mean, we both, you know, followed each other on social media and. I was following him, knew who he was, and, you know, I forget who reached out to who, but, you know, we struck up a conversation, and we talked on the phone. You know, I think the first time we talked, we realized, like, hey, this is, you know, just the two names alone, we can probably make some noise, and, you know, I've had some success running, you know, getting some fighters, building fighters, you know, from less than five fights to, and getting them, you know, some title shots. You know, just had a title shot last weekend. So, I think that's where I come in and help these guys. You know, every matchmaker is calling some of these guys without representation to see if they'll take a fight. And, you know, fighters don't like to say no, so sometimes, you know, that's when they need a guy like me to, you know, kind of step in and say, hey, that's not the right fight at the right time, you know. So, you know, once we hit it off and he came up to Boston, we had a fight card like the following weekend after we signed. He came up and we met in person, and, you know, he brought his family up and I had my family there, and, you know, I think it was a good match, and, you know, here we are. We're going to start to get busy now, you know.
Awesome. And I've been actually getting all the press releases you guys send out for Fighter Locker, and I've been following it. I got a couple other New England guys that I don't know them personally, but I think I've definitely met Chris Triadi. He's got that Granite Chin Promotions company, and then another guy I went to school with. I definitely met him. He was on my boxing team up at Norwich, Michael Reyes. So I'm sure sure you've been communicating with those guys and kind of in the same mix. But what's it like in the Boston area as far as promotion?
I mean, it's, you know, it was kind of slow, you know, at first. Obviously, it was the last ones to kick off out of COVID, I think, the last day probably.
Right.
Just the first fights were in July, you know. But now that everyone's back, it seems like there's 2 to 3 fight cards a month.
Yeah, I wish we could get that action up here in New Hampshire. It seems like everything that happens up here is like an hour away from me. But the Lakes region.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of summer people up here.
It'd be nice to get something up there in the Lakes region.
Yeah, I did go to an MMA fight at Meadowbrook, which they now call Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion. But it's this town of Guilford up here, and there's an airport right next to it, and it's just a phenomenal venue. I don't know what it would take to get on their schedule with their partnership now with the Live Action company. It's like one of the biggest music companies out there.
But those Live Nation companies, they take a lot of the percentage, which makes it hard for the promoters. I know that.
Yeah, but I mean, I would love to see it there. But there's also like 6 or 7 different music halls all of a sudden up here, where I'm seeing semi-famous acts and stuff.
Yeah, those are starting to pop up.
So one of those venues might be good. They even opened up this little place in Lakeport, Laconia, right down the street from me. It's like an old opera house, and they've been having famous acts in there. I think the first person they had there, the first group was the guy from the Patriots there, Doug Flutie, and he's got some kind of a band, now. But, it'd be great. I mean,
I didn't even know that.
If there's anything I can do to help, get you guys up here, I'd love to be involved somehow.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe that's something. Maybe something we can talk to a few of those guys about maybe going up there next summer.
Awesome. All right.
It takes a little bit to get a show together, but I think
you can act. Yeah. Plenty of fans up here, that's for sure. And so what's going on with James? You're having your first fight coming up?
I'm my first fight in Boston, actually.
Is it going to be in Brockton?
We're doing it in Dedham.
Oh, Dedham. Okay, awesome.
Dedham, yeah.
And
There's a little venue outside. We were going in the right outside the city in Dedham. It's on the Boston Water Club. But it didn't have as many COVID restrictions as Boston. But now that Boston's opened back up, maybe we can go in the city. And there has been some talks about maybe going over to the new. I was talking to one promoter that was possibly going over to the Rock Stadium in Brockton, which I think would be huge for James.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, that definitely is. I was in Brockton when I was in July. I was up there training with Demetrius Andretti. And the people down there, they just love my whole family. So, like, they showed me a lot. I actually went to the gym. What gym is that over there? It was in the same area. Uncle Rob. Yeah, Capiello. I went to visit Capiello. But Uncle Rob, me and went in there.
Awesome. Yeah, Rich Capiello and I, we go way back, too. I used to hang out with him a lot when we used to do all the Rocky stuff. I used to work with the Rocky Marciano Foundation. So I did a lot of stuff in Brockton. But Richie, yeah, he's a great guy. And, you know, the whole Capiello family, big boxing people. So, yeah, anything they do is to support the sport. Good guys. In the city of Brockton, too. Really.
Guys, they do a lot of amateur work.
Yeah.
I know Michael well. I don't know Rich. But.
Now, James, obviously, you know, you're coming into the sport with a hefty last name. So what does that kind of do to your psyche? Does it make it harder or does it make it easier to get into the game and to think about your first fight?
Well, this is not my first fight, but, no, it's pressure, but really, I just be thinking about, what I'm trying to do for myself. And obviously, I know I got some big shoes to fill and, a legacy to protect. But, no, it don't really bother me.
Right.
You know, I'm just excited about fighting, bro. That's something I've been wanting to do my whole life.
Awesome. So, you say this isn't your first fight? This is just your first pro fight? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's going to be my fourth.
Oh, okay. Well, did not know that. I guess I should have read up on that first.
Yeah.
So you've been... Where else have you been fighting?
My debut was in Ohio. My last two have been in Atlanta.
Oh, cool. So this will be your first time fighting in New England?
That's my, that's something big. My first fight up there, in Boston.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's an automatic home field advantage, right?
Well, yeah, it's a second. Yeah, Boston. That is a second home to me. I got my mother and my father from up there.
Yep. Awesome.
And I've been back and forth there my whole life. That's why I thought I should be like a second home for real.
Right.
Actually, my family said that's my first home.
Awesome. And how did you get into it? Like, when did you first decide, all right, well, I know my grandfather said don't get into it, but I'm going to do it anyway. When did you decide to get serious about it?
Funny story about that. It was back in 2014, 2015. I stopped playing. Because I played football. I actually played football up there, too. But I was playing football, so I decided to stop. Because I wanted to start boxing. When I told my granddad, he wasn't even mad about it.
You had started to come around by then, right? Come back to the sport a little bit.
Well, after that point, I told him my first fight, like the day before the fight. He and I was boxing until like the day before I had my first amateur fight. It was just in the Golden Gloves down there in Alabama.
Awesome. So he got to see you.
In 2015, that's when I started taking the
seriously,
competing and stuff,
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so, what was his thoughts about the whole thing?
He told me to his first suggestion was don't switch too much to Uncle Robbie. That was his first suggestion. And then he was telling me like don't trust everybody in politics. You know, I know how the politics are because he don't tell me everything about his career. But he told me that that's what I want to do. I should do it. I don't let him stop me.
Awesome.
But he did warn me about how dirty the game was.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, we keep seeing examples of it still today. You know, some of the decisions that are getting made. And we talked about it last week. There was a decision over in the UK that they're like suing over it. That was that bad. So, yeah. It's unbelievable. I've seen it too myself. You know, when a guy gets his butt whipped and, you know, you think the other guy's going to win, but they give it to the guy who lost because of, you know, maybe he knows a couple judges or, you know, some cases the judges just suck, you know, like that Adelaide Bird. She had a couple straight fights where it was like, what was she watching?
Yeah,
that's
it. They can't see.
Yeah. And if...
How about that time, was it CJ Ross scored Canelo and Floyd a draw?
Oh, yeah.
Now, speaking of Floyd...
I heard about that, yeah.
There's been a lot of fighters that come up since Marvin. Do you have any... favorites or anybody that you think compares to him over the years that you've seen since Marvin left the sport?
No, I ain't saying nobody listening to him, but he was just different.
Mm-hmm. How about a favorite fighter?
I compare close, like, I fought him I see Earl Spence a little bit.
Earl Spence, yeah. Yeah, he's coming up on a big one, too. Got a big fight against the guy who beat Manny. Ugas.
Yeah,
Ugas. And what's your ultimate goal? I guess both of you guys could answer this one. We'll start with Ryan. What's your ultimate goal with boxing?
I mean, my ultimate goal is to, you know, obviously I have, you know, a big need to fill myself in a different position. But, you know, my big goal is to have world champions. And, you know, a lot of them, but I'm still young, so I think I got a lot of years left, and I'd like to hopefully make it into the Hall of Fame one day for the most world champions as a manager. I don't know, we'll see.
All right.
That's the same thing with me, trying to be a world champion and make names, don't you?
Great. And another one you can both answer. What do you love most about the sport of boxing? James, you can take that one first.
Well, what I love about boxing, I just really love the art. I like beating people up. I'm going to be honest with you.
Great answer.
I'm going to be real honest with you. I just love beating people. I love fighting. I got an opportunity to do it as an art, and I just be wild with it. And I have gloves on because I love gloves. I love the way the leather smells.
Yeah.
That's just what I just share about boxing. I've been watching this my whole life. Happy to be here and participate in it. I want to.
Awesome. Yeah, we've had a variation of that answer before. Most of the time when people say stuff like that, they say, it's just great that you get to get in there and beat somebody up and you don't go to jail afterwards.
and the worse you beat them, the more money you get.
Yeah.
That definitely is a plus. You don't get trouble for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, most of the fighters that we interview either got into it because they got bullied as kids and they needed to learn how to fight, or they just had needed an outlet or something like that. And for me, it was kind of this, it wasn't really getting bullied. It was my mom died when she was young, like in her 30s. So I was like only like 6 years old when it happened. And that was in the 80s. And in the 80s, whenever you insulted somebody, the most popular thing to say back was your mother, you know. You know, growing up in Boston, you guys know that, you know. But when I was a kid, you know, my mom had died, I didn't, you know, put two and two together that, oh, well, you can't flip out when somebody says that. I would flip out, like a switch was flipped. And so I had to literally get into boxing to prevent myself from getting arrested for beating people up. Because it would just really, I mean, it would be like, it would be kind of scary at times because, you know, you lose all sense of decision making. It's just boom, you know, you go from calm and collected to losing your mind on somebody. and I had to figure out how to channel it. And that was the only way I could channel it. But, you know, a lot of people said the wrong thing and got their ass whooped. Those days before I got collected.
But right, you know, one of the things that I say to people is, you know, whenever I take kids and I work out with them and stuff, and I tell them where I came from. And, you know, I said, you know, I didn't have a reason to be angry growing up, but I was. And I didn't have a reason to have a chip on my shoulder, but I did. And, you know, and a way for me to get recognition, I would get in fights. who's stupid, you know? And I said, you know, looking at it now in my 40s, and I'm like, man, somebody could have shot me. Somebody could have called the cops on me. Somebody could have hit me with a bat. They could have jumped me. Whatever. I could have got, you know, my life could have really been down the tubes. I said, so when I started getting into boxing, every time I get mad, you know, and I started hitting that bag, when I was done, I'd be exhausted. I wouldn't want to go out, and I wouldn't want to get in trouble, and I wouldn't want to go out and run the streets. And I said, man, I said, you know, and then I started getting an identity, and I started getting that respect that I, so, for so many years was my goal, was to get that respect. And I tell kids now, I said, you know, you come to my gym, I said, I will teach you, I will, you know, and will treat you with respect, and you will treat me with respect. When your mouth's off, you're out. And I said, now I'll put you on that bag, and you can hit it, and hit it, and that bag's not going to call the cops. The bag's not going to jump you. It's not going to shoot you. You know, it's not going to ruin your life. You can take out all your aggression, and when you're tired, you can go home with a peaceful mind, and tomorrow it'll be waiting for you again. And that's the philosophy that I believe in.
Good stuff. Now, Ryan, we didn't get you to answer that. What do you love most about boxing?
I mean, I just, you know, the whole game, I love, you know, pretty much everything about it, but I think the, you know, it teaches you a lot about yourself, and I think it helps a lot of people, you know, like the kids that get bullied or the kids that have a rough upbringing, or, you know, most kids have a story in boxing, you know, you don't see too many kids get into a sport that, you know, are real well off and anything like that. They're kind of fighting their way out of the community or fighting their way out of the streets or something like that. So I think, you know, there's a lot of characters in boxing. I like that part of it. But I think just the commitment and the discipline you have to have, and it's a lonely sport, you know. There's no team. It's just you versus, you know, someone else. And I think that's a great part of it. You know, it's kind of like modern day gladiators, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sort of like my answer from Teddy Atlas when I asked that question. You kind of went on a rant about it, but it's basically saying, you know, it's the only sport where you go in there by yourself and everything falls on your shoulders. And anybody that gets in there and has the courage to do that is a hero in my book, you know. You can get up and get the courage to go step in between those ropes, you know. Takes a lot of guts.
Yeah, no, definitely.
All right, well, I won't keep you guys too long, but I do want to give a chance for our third co-host here to chip in. So, Tom, you got a psychic prediction for these guys?
Well, psychic says, both of you gentlemen, I do believe that you are exactly where you need to be. This time of your life, you're made to do this, because think about it. You both have a famous name, famous families. Someone would think, well, maybe that's an easier path into boxing. It could be a lot harder, because both of you have said that you've had some influences in the family telling you not to do this, but here you are. So what does that say about success? Now my wish is that a couple years down the road, when Team Hagler and Roach is really moving up the ladder, you don't forget us. You come back. The vibe I have, this is a winning team. It has to be. And I'd say, James, that when we talk about your grandfather, we're also talking about you. You're a separate person, but you have his genes. Remember that. And you ever need motivation? I'm sure you don't, but people still talk about Marvin all these years later, you know, the YouTube videos of his training and his legacy. I mean, to me, he was hysterical. If I was a mad scientist trying to create a fighter, there's a slick boxer, slick puncher, a gym made of concrete, stamina that would just go forever, insane cardio. I mean, and just use that as an inspiration, you know, and be your own man, but remember you've got that. And I know that you got a good manager. I've seen the up and downs of the fight game, and he's still here. So there you go. This is my crystal ball. Now it's getting too hot. I got to calm it down here a bit. But good stuff for this team. I'm telling you both, and I do mean it.
Appreciate it.
All right, and tell us how to find you guys on the interwebs there, social media, all that stuff. Start with you, Ryan.
You can find me on Facebook at, you know, Brian Roach. I usually tell people, like, the bug. It's easy that way. and then at Ryan Roach Official on Instagram. And then also, you know, my website, fighterlocker.com.
All right, James.
You can find me on Facebook at Johnny Tagler Jr. I have a fan page at Johnny Savage Tagler Jr. And on Instagram, I'm at Johnny Tagler Jr. Just put in Johnny Tagler Jr. You'll find on all platforms for real.
Awesome. And any final thoughts before you guys call tonight here?
I appreciate you guys having us on, and I look forward to doing more, and I promise we won't forget about you guys.
All right, yeah, I'll be in touch for
Thank
sure.
I appreciate you guys bringing us on. I had a good time with that.
I'll definitely keep all in right. touch, and we'll hit you up on Facebook.
If you guys are free, be on James' next fight, feel free to come down. I know it's a little rock from New Hampshire, but
I got plenty of friends in Massachusetts I need to visit, so I might make it a point to be there for that one. So. Yeah, it's great talking to you guys, and we would wish you luck, but I don't think you need it. Awesome talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. See you guys. Have a good
night.
All
right, guys.
Hi, everyone. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, there we have it. Ryan Roach and James Hagler Jr., grandson. I thought he was nephew, but grandson. Farm.